The Big Fight Weekend Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is brought to you in part by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is doing everything they can to help degens only cash big, including a 50% deposit match on your first deposit. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to get a 50% deposit match. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new daily fantasy sports app built specifically for player props. Download the app in the App Store and use the promo code SGP for instant deposit matches up to $50. That's ThriveFantasy.com. Promo code SGP. Sign up and prop up today. And we're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sports book. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. We're also brought to you in part by Sean Green's latest comedy album, This Loss Hurts Us All, for only $3.99. That's right, only $3.99. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Sean to get the new album. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Sean.
The countdown is on to fight time. This is Big Fight Weekend. Now, here is your host, TJ Reeves.
Yes, indeed. Ring the bell. We are off and rolling on the latest edition of the Big Fight Weekend Podcast. I am merely the somewhat capable, somewhat lucid host. He is the senior writer of BigFightWeekend.com, Marquise Johns. Weak Sauce, how you feeling? Everything good?
Pretty good, TJ. Close to Turkey Day, close to everything else happening, winding down. Looking forward to everything that's going on this weekend.
I know. Lots of food coming up, lots of boxing coming up. And to help us sort it out right off the bat, we're not messing around here on the Big Fight Weekend Podcast like we do about 98% of the time. We're not messing around, at least on this episode of the Big Fight Weekend Podcast. Bernardo Osuna of ESPN's coverage of boxing, including ESPN Deportes as well. Bernardo, thank you so much for hanging out with us here on this edition of the show off the Terrence Crawford-Kell Brook pay-per-view that also had controversy in the co-feature. It's a great time to have you. Thank you. We appreciate you taking time with us here on the show.
Hey, TJ Marquise, it's a pleasure to join you. Unfortunately, it wasn't a pay-per-view. It was on ESPN. Had
proper.
About 2 million viewers, you know, watching that solid performance from one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world today. And what's happened since has just been, we're turning it into a telenovela now with Terrence Crawford and Bob Arum and, you know, what's going to happen in the near future. And not to even mention what happened in the Maloney Franco fight.
Okay, so as I said, I introed myself as the somewhat lucid host of the podcast. Thank you for your correction all the way out the bat. And by the way, bravo, because Top Rank and ESPN brought us not only that fight card, but also the Teofimo Lopez-Vasily Lomachenko fight card on regular pay cable ESPN, giving back to the fans during the pandemic, which we love. Okay, so let's go back to last Saturday night and begin right there. Crawford gets the win. That was not unexpected. You were there in the bubble. Give me a thought or two watching him up close there as Crawford defended his title successfully yet again and remained unbeaten, Bernardo.
You know, Crawford's a beast, and the beauty of Terrence Crawford is he steps up to the moment, because if you look back to our previous two fight cards, we had Naoya Inoue on Halloween, and we had the Teofimo Lopez against Vasily Lomachenko fight. So you're talking about back-to-back-to-back, some of the top pound-for-pound fighters in the world. And then Terrence Crawford comes in, studies Errol Spence Kell Brook for about two rounds. And then in the third round starts to bring it on. And in the fourth, he just drops the hammer, as we all expected would happen. But the beauty of it is he comes out and puts the type of performance that he needs to put on, because a lot of times you see the elite fighters take on a certain level of fighter and they fight down to the level of competition. And Terrence Crawford is the opposite. He doesn't care who you are, where you come from, what your story is. Once he sees you hurt, goodbye. He's one of the most devastating finishers in the game today. And that's exactly what happened with that fight against Kell Brook. You know, and when I was interviewing him, I said, hey, Terrence, it was close until it wasn't. And I think that's the only way to describe that fight. It was a tactical chess match for a first couple rounds, you know, given to Kell Brook for a good start. They respected each other's power, and then once Terrence saw the opening, that's what makes him great. He took it, and he finished him.
No doubt about that. And then I love the moment that you got in your role for ESPN on the crew with Joe Tessitore, Tim Bradley, Andre Ward, where you do the post-fight interviews. You're standing there with Terrence Crawford. You interview him about the win. Again, I think everybody was waiting for the next question or the follow-up question about what's next, because that is the logical question in most of these situations. Who do you want to fight next? What do you want to do? But this one was an extra juicy what's next, because we know it's been an issue for him to be able to get in front of Errol Spence, Manny Pacquiao, one of the mega payday type situations. And I thought it was great TV. You asked him and he turned. I know it's audio podcast that we're doing, but he turned and looked right at Bob Arum. Yeah. Like, I'm not even going to answer. You go ahead, Bob. You tell the public here about what's next for me. You were standing there. What did you make of that with the answer? Because then Bob went on the roll call of trying to promote.
Yeah, well, I thought it was great because, you know, I wanted to have Terrence have his moment, but then Bob rolled up there and tell Bob, he's the top ranked president, so he wants to be in on it. But at that moment, he knew what he was in for. You know, he knew that it was not going to be any softball, and then it had to be about, well, where are we going from here? Because, you know, the letter that Terrence's lawyer sent to Bob Arum did not sit well. You know, what has been said since and said before did not sit well with Terrence. So, you know, you want to be there, then it's going to come with the questions that everybody wants answered. And you know, everybody wants to know what's next. I want to know what's next. You know, he mentioned the fact that it seems like it was Manny Pacquiao instead of Kell Brook that was in the works for this fight. But things fell through because of health issues and COVID-19 that we're all dealing with. So that fight couldn't happen. The money was there, he said, but hopefully early next year. And then why not Spence? When are we going to see Spence? Because that's the fight that everybody wants to know. And the big question is, can Bob put it together with Al Haymon and PBC and make it happen? We just did. And I mentioned that. I said we just did it with Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder in the rematch. And it really comes down to the heads of these companies wanting it to happen, because I know Terrence wants it. I know that Errol Spence is not ducking him, because Errol Spence is a grown man who wants this fight as much as Terrence does. Now there's talk about 60-40 split, whatever. Look, if the fighters want it, it should happen. And I know both want it, but they both got to go to their guys. Terrence has gone to Bob and said, make this fight. Now it's up to Errol after he gets past Danny Garcia, which is no easy task coming off of that accident. You know, if he gets past that fight, if he really wants Terrence Crawford, then I would think that PBC would want to work with Top Rank, because it's a big economic risk to put on pay-per-view on your own. I mean, both are great fighters, we know that, but what's their reach beyond the hardcore fan? And that is the question that everybody should be asking themselves, because we know them because we love the sport and we love the skill set of Terrence Crawford, what it can do switching, that killer instinct. We know the power of Errol Spence and how good he can be. But at the end of the day, what made Pacquiao, what made Mayweather great, what makes Canelo great, is that you don't have to be a boxing fan to know who they are. Are Terrence and Errol at that level? And I don't know that any one promoter can put the kind of money in on their own to make that fight happen. I think the best way to do it is a co-promotion. You put in half, I put in half, and we reap the benefits of what these guys can bring.
Well put on all of that. The voice of Bernardo Osuna of ESPN and their Top Rank boxing coverage, hanging out on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. Okay, so that was only part of the story. That was the big part of the story in the main event. The co-feature fight, which was a rematch for the WBA's Junior Bantamweight Championship, Joshua Franco and Andrew Maloney. As I like to say, one of my lines, it had more twists and turns and drama than a month of General Hospital on what truly happened. So you were there. You were on scene. I guess Marquise wants to ask it first because you've been most curious. Marquise, jump in here. Ask away about the ending and the controversy with Franco Maloney.
Absolutely, Bernardo. The one question it's my question for you is two parts. One, we saw the replay. We saw the replay several times, about 26 minutes worth, as you well know on the broadcast. So part one for you is, was it a punch? And two, How did you react to it? Because you, as you well know, you had to talk to people in the corners. You had to pretty much just shuffle around and talk to whoever you had to get available. I didn't see a water boy for you. But how did you handle the whole situation as a whole, Bernardo? And explain to me like just how that everything went down. And how can we make replays in boxing faster? Obviously, this is the growing pains of it. And we're still trying to learn how the VCR works and how the replay tape works and whatever have you. But there's got to be a better solution to make this a little more on the spot or more real time.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Let me ask you guys real quick. So Marquise, did you think it was a headbutt or a punch?
That looked like a solid punch, and he threw a lot of them in two rounds.
And my hand is up, Bernardo. I thought punch, too. I didn't see the clash of heads that the referee's closer. We're watching on TV. You were closer. You were ringside. He's calling butt earlier in the first round, but I thought punch as well, Bernardo.
And that's the question, right? And that's why when you perceive something live, it may not happen that way. Earlier in the fight card, there was a knockout from Vegas Larfield. And I called, I think I called a right hand and Tim Bradley called it a left hook. And it wasn't until we saw the replay that I was right with what I had called. So that just goes to show you how quick things happen in real time. So for referee Russell Mora to perceive a headbutt, you know what? To his credit, there were several headbutts during the fight, but yes, Nothing consequential. And the one that they said caused a swelling, to me, it looked like it was on the left side of his face and not the right side of his face. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing that Franco did very well was keep his right hand up the entire time. That's the way he holds his high guard. And so it was hard to perceive anything. But I'll tell you what, we had 9 cameras in the ring tracked on that. And if my guys in that truck cannot find a headbutt, it's for a reason. And, you know, we looked at it time and time and time again. And, you know, the Nevada State Athletic Commission stuck by their guns because from the beginning, when I went over to the table to ask if they were going to do a replay, you know, Robert Byrd said, look, I saw a headbutt too. So in their eyes, they had seen enough. And much like we have in the NFL or you know, in Major League Baseball, it has to be incontrovertible evidence that it overturns it. So to their credit, they stuck with it. The whole entire world saw something that completely different. But it's one of those things where if my guys couldn't find it, trust me, we have the best crew. We've got an overhead camera. We've got 9 cameras tracked on that entire ring. And if they could not find a headbutt that caused that, it's for a reason. And it was very tight, but in the end, you know, they stuck to their guns and the production crew stuck to their guns and said, hey, we didn't see it. So hopefully the WBA does the right thing and orders that third fight, which Bob Arum said could land in Australia, would be a great payday for Joshua Franco to go over there and what could be a doubleheader with Teofimo Lopez making his mandatory defense against George Camboso. So, you know, it could be great business for everybody, but at the end, replay exists for a reason. And you know, I talked to Bob Bennett about this a lot. It's a work in progress. They're really the first major commission to put it into play. And they've really done a lot from the beginning of the bubble to now in terms of implementing it. But it's hard, guys. It's not an easy thing to do. And we saw just how hard it can be. But I see where they're coming from. But I see where my guys are coming from, too, where you just couldn't see it.
Especially when you guys had a slow-mo replay of an excellent straight left jab right on the eye in and around the time where the swelling started right after that. Again, very convincing. And again, the distinguishment is that if it is a punch and he can't continue, it's a TKO, which is what Maloney thought when the fight was waved off. He thought, I've won by stoppage. I've reclaimed my title. Meanwhile, the referee's on a whole nother track and the commission's on a whole nother track of, we believe it's a butt. We've got to look at the replay to make sure. And part of Marquise's question was, during that 26 minutes, you guys are filling on the air, you're watching replays, you're going over trying to eavesdrop on the commission. What was that like, real quick? Because it had to be one of the most bizarre things you've been part of, now that you reflect on it, right?
Well, yeah, because you figure, hey, if you're going to stick to your guns, you just say, hey, I know what I saw, and that's it, it's done, it's over with. But to let it go for 26 minutes means you're seeing something, and something's causing doubt, something's making you, you know, see things that you didn't see were there originally, and that's the whole purpose of instant replay. But it was just it was frustrating. It was frustrating for everybody because, you know, as I spoke to Bologna's corner, they're thinking, hey, we should be world champions. When I speak to Robert Garcia in the corner of Joshua Franco, who's the champion, who won it in that same ring months ago in great fashion, in dominant fashion, then he looks at it, hey, when I see something taking this long, I just think they're trying to find a way to screw us. And so, you know, and you see the commission looking at the videos, and it's like either you see it or you don't. And then the whole explanation about the thumb in the eye, and I get Jay Nady to you know, explain the ruling to me. If it's, because a lot of people will say, well, if it's a thumb in the eye, well, then it's got to be an accidental foul. And that's not the case, because once the gloves were attached to the glove, it becomes a part of the glove. So that's a legal punch, actually. So it's one of those things where many questions come up, and in the end is, why wasn't it overturned? And it's in this world we live in nowadays, it's so polarizing, and that's why I wanted to get your opinions, what you thought, because if no matter what I tell you, if you're in the Joshua Franco camp, you're going to say, you know what, it was a headbutt no matter what you tell me. If you are in the Bologna camp, you're going to say, hey, you know what, I know what I saw, and it was all those jabs. And in the end, the only thing I could say is, if you watch the fight, you had 26 minutes to judge for yourself.
Great line on that from Bernardo Osuna, who is with us for a few more moments. Marquise, I know you wanted to ask him one more about a fight he worked earlier in the bubble and whether it's the fight of the year. Go ahead.
Absolutely, Bernardo. I want to get your thoughts on, you, because you called it live, the fight of the year with Tim Bradley between, I think you know where I'm going with this, but against Ivan Baranchik and Jose Cepeda. Fill me in on how that was, because that was insane watching five rounds of that.
Man, I called it unbridled offense for, you know, four rounds and, you know, 2 minutes and 50 seconds that it lasted. It's, as a broadcaster, it's a gift from the boxing gods. You know, for all those times I had to drive out to Eagle Pass to call a fight and stay at a crappy hotel, you know, over my 20-some-odd years of a career, this was the boxing gods saying, hey, Bernardo, here you go, buddy. Take this one. And it was just, I'd never been involved in a fight like that where both guys go down four times. They actually missed the knockdown, you know, in favor of Zepeda, which ended up being inconsequential. But then that finish, I think the crescendo of that fight and just how things happen in the moment. And, you know, I was just saying on my call right before he got knocked out, you know, both guys have been down and, you know, neither's been knocked out because they have a ton of heart. And then, boom, there comes that left that, Baranchik never saw. And it's one of those things where you go from the exhilaration of seeing a knockout like that, and then for the concern of a human being who you see laid out, and you're, you know, I think that's probably what I'm proudest of. And you know, just talking to my bosses and my colleagues, they're like, the way you went from the euphoria of that call to the concern seamlessly is what makes you a broadcaster, because you have to read the room. You have to be able to react immediately. And you know, I don't think I've ever yelled that loud in my entire career. But then you look down and the guy's laying in front of you motionless, and you have to react as a human being. And so I think that was the what made me most satisfied about that is being able to deal with the highs and the lows and getting Tim to take you to that place when, you know, he would talk to his wife and say, hey, I may not come back the same man that goes into that ring, and take you into the Provodnikov fight and those feelings and those emotions. I think, you know, we see those guys as warriors, and then you get to realize, like, man, these guys are human beings, and what they do for our entertainment is risk their lives. And you have, you know, that's why when people call someone a bum that goes in the ring, anybody who has the guts to step into that ring deserves respect, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. Anyone who has the courage to go and prepare, make weight, and step into that ring and exchange punches with another man, deserves the utmost respect.
If you are, absolutely, if you are willing to step through those ropes and take a punch, which so many of, I like to call them the keyboard warriors and, yes, and the phone users, they have no interest and would never in a million years step through and be willing to take a punch from one of those. So you're absolutely right on that. Just a couple more moments. Bernardo has been most gracious with his time. Hey, just a quick thought. That may be the fight of the year. I know Povetkin's one punch that he landed on Dillian White may be the knockout of the year. Maybe it's Gervonta Davis on Santa Cruz recently that might be. But that Zepeda knockout of Baranchuk might be the... You might have called the fight of the year and the knockout of the year on that night. You just never know in sports. I mean, it just... It's sometimes... you don't know going in. A pitcher throwing a no-hitter, for example. In football, last weekend, the Cardinals, the Hail Mary on the final play, you don't know sometimes. And you may have had both, Bernardo.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. You don't know what you're going to show up and call. You know, sometimes you get these big mega fights that turn out to be stinkers, and you're like, really, all this promotion and all this for nothing, right? And then, you know, this reminded me a lot of the Castillo-Corrales fight because now everybody was at the venue. But let's not forget that it didn't sell the way they expected that fight to sell. And that I really put that in the same vein of that because, you know, this time it was the fact that we were in the bubble and we're going to be, you know, the few privileged to say we were really there. And to be privileged to call that, you know, and to be a part of that fight was an amazing gift to my career and an amazing gift to boxing fans everywhere. And we were talking about it, you know, with Tim. It's like, no matter what happens, you know, if you've ever been to a top-ranked boxing fight, they have the video that of This Is Boxing where you got Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard, Duran, Arguello, Pryor, Hagler, Hearns, and, you know, that's the hype video. And if that doesn't give you chills, you're not alive.
Yeah.
And this is a type of fight that could make its way onto that track and have a rightful place in there. And my call could be there, whatever, and you know, it was one of those things where I talked to my daughters and I was like, hey, your dad was a part of something special tonight.
Love that. We got to go. I know you got to go in a moment or two. Two fun ones about the bubble, because you've been inside that bubble for a long time working in Las Vegas, etc. What was a really cool thing about the bubble? Ping pong table could be anything. What's a really cool thing about the bubble?
It was that, the camaraderie, because the first 7 weeks that we did, it was... you couldn't leave. And so you had to find a way to keep yourself entertained. So we did ping pong tournaments. We had cornhole there. And it just really, you know, you became a family because you had a choice to either have a crappy time there or make the best of it. And we really built a great environment. It really became our own little world for 7 weeks. And then it became less restrictive in the second and third iteration of the bubble. But first, the original bubble people, you know, we really made the best of a really hard situation. And I think that's what I'm going to take away from that is the friendships that were built. You know, we would play poker on our own. We'd play some, you know, dominoes. You had to make it work. You had to make the time pass.
And are you better at poker really or are you better at dominoes, Bernardo Osuna? We got to know on the podcast. Which are you better at?
I'm better at poker.
Better at poker. All right. Just to know. Just to know on that. And was there a point in time, because I've done this, I mean, we all did this back in March and April, where everybody went inside and went at home, and you're trying to keep track of, my God, is it Thursday or is it Sunday? Was there ever a point in the bubble where you're like, I've been in the hotel for so long and in the halls and in the convention center and in the wait area, the ring area, did it all start to run together? It had to. And how did you handle it?
Well, it did, but that's the whole part of it. You know, we said it was Groundhog's Day. You know, every Tuesday and Thursday was a fight. And so I think that's what kept us sane, the fact that we had two fights a week. So the prep work that we put in, you know, with the ESPN crew is no joke. So it was really, when you look at it, we really had Friday off and then, you know, Saturday off. They, you know, later on in like third week, they opened up the pool for us and we had a private pool that we could go to. And so it was not as bad as it was the first 2 weeks. But it was really about, you know, really focusing on what you had to do and being able to tell stories and the fact that I was the only guy in there because, Tess was in studio, the only guy in studio, and Andre, Tim, and Kriegel were at their homes doing, you know, the broadcast. And so the fact that it could all go down at any time and you might have to do it all from the bubble, you really had to be prepared, you know? And so it was really a challenge that I really enjoyed. You know, I'm going to take that with me forever. I was in the bubble and I had the privilege and the responsibility of being your eyes and ears in the bubble for Top Rank Boxing on ESPN.
Marquise, has this been any good with Bernardo Osuna? I think it's about a 12 on a scale of 10.
Absolutely. And I'm more intrigued now you play poker. We need to hook up on Nozzle this sooner or later.
Once Vegas gets back to normal, because, you know.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is Marquise loves to give away his money to total strangers online gambling on poker. He might as well give it away to you while he's doing that. Equal opportunity on that. Bernardo, great stuff with us on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. Keep up the great work on the Top Rank coverage on ESPN. We'll be watching. Love it. Thank you, sir, for hanging with us.
All the best. You guys take care, and thank you for having me.
We're brought to you in part by MyBookie.ag. We've headed now into November with the NFL, with college football. Everything that's going on right now in sports, and of course, whether you're a first-time customer or whether you've been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, contests, everything they offer every week, including with the fights off the huge weekend last weekend. Find all the odds, sign up, load up, find an edge, make your bets, and get paid with MyBookie. And right now, if you sign up today and use the promo code SGP, you'll get a deposit match all the way up to $500 in your account if you're a first-time user. Again, if you're a first-time user, put $100 in, they'll put $100 in. The same with $200 on your initial deposit, they'll put $200 in, all the way up to $500. It's winning season at MyBookie. Join in the fun. Get some cash, you bet, you win, you get paid. A $500, up to $500 deposit match awaits you as a first-time user with our promo code SGP. It's mybookie.ag, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy, the daily fantasy sports app for player props. Tremendous response from our audience here at Sports Gambling Podcast and the network of shows, including Three Dog Thursday, the Sports Gambling Podcast, A College Experience with Colby Dant, on and on, including our Big Fight Weekend podcast that we have on the network fleet of shows. All of you keep responding, and rightfully so, with Thrive Fantasy, because it's daily fantasy with player props. In the NFL, choose 10 of the 20 available players in the props and build up your lineup. And with Thrive, you eliminate all of the other ancillary which way to go, the extra research. Again, it's 20 available players in the NFL. Pick 10 of them, prop them up. They're assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under. Hit the prop and rack up the most important points, and those points will win you a share of the prize pool. So for this week, for example, give me a prop like Aaron Rodgers hosting the Jaguars at Lambeau, 287.5 passing yards. That seems a little low. I mean, Deshaun Watson lit them up last week. I think it's going to be the same thing with Rodgers this week. I think he will get to 300 passing yards in this game. I'm going over on that prop. Another one that is interesting is the Eagles and Carson Wentz. We'll be talking more about this game as the podcast goes on, with the Eagles and the Giants at the Meadowlands at MetLife Stadium. And for New York, can they hold Carson Wentz under 24.5 completions? Their defense has been so-so. I know that even Alex Smith was throwing on him. Tom Brady obviously led the comeback to throw on him. I would be inclined to take the under here on Carson Wentz, with the Giants looking for some payback, under 24.5 completions in that game, in the Giants-Eagles game. Again, 24.5 completions. That's a lot of completions for Wentz and the Eagles offense, which has struggled at times. And we'll go back to one more. The showdown with the Ravens and the Patriots, which will be Sunday Night Football, this one at New England. Will Mark Andrews catch a touchdown or not, the tight end of the Ravens, from Lamar Jackson against New England? New England's defense gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points to Joe Flacco and the Jets. Andrews is a great red zone target for Lamar Jackson. I'm going to go over that total. I think he will catch a touchdown in this Sunday night game at New England. Give me the over for the Ravens tight end as just another example of what you have with Thrive Fantasy. So again, take advantage with our friends at Thrive Fantasy and all of these different props. They've had over $50,000 in guaranteed prizes going out every week. They've awarded over $1.8 million this season in cash prizes. Use our promo code SGP when you sign up and get an instant match of up to $50 on your first deposit. So download that Thrive Fantasy app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. Go to thrivefantasy.com to find out more, see the rules, the restrictions. Sign up and prop up today and use our promo code SGP with Thrive Fantasy. And if you've ever thought of owning your own sportsbook but you didn't know how, Ace Per Head is here to help you start it up. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated up to the second and wagers graded immediately. They've got top-notch customer service going 24/7, some of the sharpest lines in the industry, and plus, Ace Per Head also has live betting and a great mobile experience. You can get started today. Ace is offering 6 weeks free, by the way. Go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP to find out more. We're also brought to you in part by Thrive Fantasy, the daily fantasy sports app for player props. Tremendous response from our audience here at Sports Gambling Podcast on the network of shows, including Three Dog Thursday, the Sports Gambling Podcast, A College Experience with Colby Dant, on and on, including our Big Fight Weekend podcast that we have on the network fleet of shows. All of you keep responding, and rightfully so, with Thrive Fantasy because it's daily fantasy with player props. In the NFL, choose 10 of the 20 available players in the props and build up your lineup. And with Thrive, you eliminate all of the other ancillary which way to go, the extra research. Again, it's 20 available players in the NFL. Pick 10 of them, prop them up. They're assigned a fantasy value for both the over and the under. Hit the prop and rack up the most important points, and those points will win you a share of the prize pool. And some players for this week for Thrive Fantasy, a couple of names that jumped off of the page immediately at me. How about Dalvin Cook? Combined under over for rushing and receiving yards is 120.5. He has been so good and was again on Monday Night Football. With running the football, the combined yards from scrimmage against a bad Cowboy defense. I know they're off the bye week. I like the over total on Thrive Fantasy there for the under over of the 120 rush yards. So I'm going Dalvin Cook in that one. One in the early games, Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans in their matchup with the New England Patriots. 300 combined pass and rush yards. New England's defense has been pretty good. I'd be inclined to go the under there because Houston has been so bad for that game that will be taking place in Houston at NRG Stadium. I'll go under the 300 combined pass and rush yards for Deshaun Watson as a couple of the plays here for this. And also, what else? Patrick Mahomes, again, if that game does get played against the Raiders, and we think that it will be, his passing yards at 306.5. I don't know how they came up with 306.5, not liking 306 or 307. But I'm inclined to go over there against the Raiders, who are depleted on defense. I'm taking the over 306 pass yards. I would have anyway if the Raiders starters were even there. They've been bad against the pass, even with full health. So there's just three of the examples of the under-overs that you can use with Thrive Fantasy, and we suggest that you do so, as Thrive has given out over $50,000 in guaranteed prizes every week and has awarded now over $200,000 in cash prizes for the year. Use our promo code SGP, by the way, and you get an instant match up to $50 on your initial deposit. Go get the Thrive Fantasy app in the App Store, the Google Play Store. Go to the website thrivefantasy.com to find out more about the rules and the regulations. You sign up and prop up today. And don't forget, our promo code SGP gets you $50 on a match, up to $50 with your first deposit. It is Thrive Fantasy and the promo code SGP. And if you've ever thought of owning your own sportsbook but you didn't know how, Ace Per Head is here to help you start it up. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated up to the second and wagers graded immediately. They've got top-notch customer service going 24/7, some of the sharpest lines in the industry, and plus, Ace Per Head also has live betting and a great mobile experience. You can get started today. Ace is offering 6 weeks free, by the way. Go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP to find out more.
We're back on Big Fight Weekend. Now, here's your host, TJ Reeves.
And we are back in once more with the senior writer of BigFightWeekend.com, Marquise Johns. Was that any fun with Bernardo Osuna of ESPN?
Oh, TJ, that was amazing. In fact, that's going to be a lot better than what we have coming on these fights this weekend.
There's some weekends where we're very excited about what we have. We did lose the Dillian White-Alexander Povetkin heavyweight rematch main event for the DAZN show in London because Povetkin tested positive for COVID-19 a couple of weeks ago, though Dillian White doesn't believe that, even though Dillian White probably believes in dinosaurs and Martians and other things. But in any event, they aren't fighting for now. They may be fighting later on in January is apparently part of the conversation that those two may fight. So that London fight card is going to go on with the son of Nigel Benn, Conor Benn, now in the main event. So let's get right into that here while we start talking cards. That's now the main event for 10 rounds against a name in Sebastian Formella that we saw earlier this year in the United States. Marquise, enlighten us more.
Absolutely, let me correct you as well. It's actually a 12-rounder, and it's for a regional WBA title at welterweight. What it is, TJ, with this one, former IBO champion Sebastian Formella, last seen on PBC on Fox being punched around from Sean Porter for 12 rounds, is back in action against this one against Conor Benn. It's going to be fun to watch to see how much of progress Conor Benn has since his last fight. This is one of those fights to see how he looks as a whole on the main stage. I don't expect too much out of it. The one thing we gathered from Formella, now that we all have tape on him, is that he can take a punch. He took about 4,000 from Sean Porter. So we'll see how many he can take from Conor Benn on Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon, our time. And you also wrote on the site about the undercard. The co-feature is a heavyweight, Fabio Wardley, unbeaten, up-and-coming heavyweight. Not a contender yet, not ranked anywhere yet, but he's a knockout guy, and he's there to deliver another knockout, right?
Absolutely, TJ. What's the fun thing about this card that's going on, actually, is that Dillian White's out of this card, but his fighters in heavyweight camp still march on. Like Fabio Wardley, for example, is going to be in action against Richard Larte, and that's probably going to be expected for him to see how long he can punch around Larte for a couple of rounds. Also, as well in this undercard, TJ, Alan Babic. I need to put you on this guy. This is another prospect who is facing Tom Little. The fight talk going into this fight going in, TJ, I kid you not, was Alan Babic says, "I'm going to knock him out, and then we're going to go for a beer afterwards and hug and talk about it." So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And also on the pre-fight media call this week and talking with Babic, he mentioned how he's willing to fight anybody, but they won't give him anybody. He said he's willing to fight Godzilla. So he's one of those interesting characters, and I expect more of the same with this in 3 rounds or less on this undercard.
And again, for our friends of the Sports Gambling Podcast, who we're affiliated with and through MyBookie.ag, one of the big sponsors across the Sports Gambling Podcast network of shows and what we do here with Big Fight Weekend, they do have the odds out. For example, Conor Benn is heavily favored, -260, or roughly 2.5 to 1, to win over Sebastian Formella. And the Wardley fight, he is -1400 to win, and the odds are pretty drastic that it's going to be by knockout. In this fight, if you're just looking at the odds, I wish that we had a more 50-50 fight to kind of give you. We don't really have that. There's also the FS1 card, the Premier Boxing Champions card back in the United States in Los Angeles. Another prospect card, if you will, this weekend that also has the veteran Javier Fortuna, the lightweight, in action. Tell me more, Marquise, about what's on Saturday night late on Fox Sports 1 cable in the U.S.
Pretty much the status quo of FS1 fight card here with prospects. The one thing about Fortuna in action, TJ, is he's pretty much ranked high in all the rankings at the 135, but he's on that cusp behind all the ones in terms of mandatories for that elusive belt that Teofimo Lopez has. So in order for him to stay, you know, active and stay up in that ranking, he has to fight somebody. And so they put him up against Lozada, the fight veteran, about 44-1. So we'll see how that looks out. The other fight of actual note on this card, Tito, is the co-main event. Austin Dulé out of Nashville is in action. He is fighting Jose Gallegos. He was last seen, TJ, being upset in his hometown on the Kayla Plant Feigenboots card. And this is his first fight action since then in the rebound.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on those fights that are going to be on Fox Sports 1. And then, obviously, Thanksgiving next week. And when we get to next weekend and next Saturday night on the 28th, the Tyson Jones card, which at the time that we're taping this, it looks like that's going to happen, even though there's been great skepticism about the exhibition that they're calling a fight and whether or not that card will come off. Looks like right now at the time we're taping that it will happen. No fans, taking place in California. We'll see. But also the British, speaking of the heavyweights, the British showdown with unbeaten young Daniel Dynamite Dubois and Joe Joyce, who's also an unbeaten older fighter and a former MMA fighter. That one is intriguing for next week. So we got to hold out for those fights and fight cards for next weekend. We'll get through with these. Before we get out of here on the Big Fight Weekend podcast, we did find out that Canelo Alvarez is confirmed this week to be back in the ring in December. Callum Smith of England will be the opponent. Apparently the fight in Texas, most likely at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio for December 19th. Marquise, your reaction to all of this, that Eddie Hearn is able to make the deal and that the fight will apparently be right back on DAZN. I've got a comment on it, but I want your comment first. We get a Canelo fight before the end of the year, and it's England's Callum Smith. Your reaction?
I think it's a great fight, TJ, but nothing says 2020 in the most boxing thing ever than a fighter who sues his promotional company and the network that it's on, tries, becomes a free agent, and then signs an immediate fight back on that network he just tried to sue. I find that's just the most boxing thing ever. And the fight itself with Callum Smith is actually a good one. It's one of the ones that they mentioned beforehand when they went down the list of names early in this year, pre-pandemic, where they had him, Billy Joe Saunders, and then Caleb Plant at that time as well, before they all those guys backed out, and then Billy Joe Saunders backed out, and then here we are, we finally with Callum Smith. The one thing with Callum Smith, TJ, that I thought was interesting, and Eddie Hearn's been notorious for doing this with fight choices, and he mentioned, like, beforehand what the offer to Canelo was, it was either Callum Smith or John Ryder. Like, okay. Like he did with last time, Devin Haney last go around, it's either Yorkis Gamboa or Gary Russell Jr. Like, you're going to get Gary Russell Jr. to fight twice a year. Good luck. So it's stuff like that I always find to be kind of iffy on Eddie Hearn's part. But nonetheless, this actually is a good fight all the way around. And it also at 168, it's also a good fight for Canelo.
Well, and you mentioned the point about suing DAZN. Is it not obvious now that the real hatred behind the scenes was with the promoter, Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions? And we knew this when he got stripped the summer of 2019 of part of his undisputed middleweight world titles. He was furious when he got stripped of the IBF version of the belt. He was furious with De La Hoya, De La Hoya's matchmaker, and that feud just continued, Marquise. And it's obvious that, yes, DAZN was a party almost by necessity to the lawsuit of I'm going to blast everybody, but I'm most mad at De La Hoya. And it's obvious now he wasn't as mad and doesn't care as much about DAZN because DAZN's going to kick in some money at a better price for them, and he's right back on their service without De La Hoya involved, without De La Hoya making anything off of this fight. So it is interesting how that part lined up. And again, Callum Smith won the World Boxing Super Series tournament for what it's worth. Has not been in action this calendar year. Last time he was in action was last winter and did not look good against John Ryder, the aforementioned British fighter. Who knows what this will look like in about a month, but we got plenty of time to build up on that. Anything else before we get out of here on this edition of the podcast that we haven't covered, that we haven't gone about from a news standpoint, et cetera? Are we good on all other fronts?
Just one quick note, TJ. I did catch today in the afternoon, Errol Spence had his media yes. workout over in Dallas, and by all accounts, and I saw it as well, he looked good. But I mean, TJ, I love these things to death, and every fighter does these things beforehand with media workouts. I mean, I was at live where Keith Thurman's in person. Everyone looks good at the workouts. We won't know anything until he gets a punch to the face in the ring against Danny Garcia on December 5th. So, right. He looks good.
And he looked ripped. I saw it. I wrote about it on the website. You can check it out depending on when you're hearing us, about him saying, hey, I did not take a tune-up here. I wanted to go after Danny Garcia and have it be a pay-per-view fight and accept the challenge. And I thought there was a moment of honesty where he said, if this had been a tune-up fight, I maybe wouldn't have been 100% focused because it wouldn't have been a threat, wouldn't have been a real threat. There are a lot of unanswered questions for Errol Spence. Post-car accident, there's a lot of question marks about did he suffer a concussion? Was there some kind of brain trauma that was involved with that, that they kind of brushed aside and kept quiet for several months? We don't know any of those answers. We do know he was an ultra-talented fighter before the accident. We don't know what's going to happen now post-accident a year later. We will see coming up on this pay-per-view. That's part of the intrigue that's for it. But you make a good point. They're all going to look good in the warm-ups. It's like we were talking about with Bernardo Osuna with no hitters. Everybody looks like a hero in batting practice till you actually get to a game and have to hit the curveball or the slider or whatever you have to hit, to use the baseball analogy. A workout is a workout is a workout. We'll see what it looks like for Spence and Garcia in their pay-per-view. That'll about do it here. We encourage everybody to read the site, correct, Marquise, and check you out and follow you on social media at Weak Sauce Radio and read up on BigFightWeekend.com, correct?
Absolutely, TJ. BigFightWeekend.com, your source for all things boxing news, past, present, future. We'll be keeping up with the fights this week and see if anything of note happens on the SFS1 card. Not likely. Also the Nigel Benz, as mentioned, Formella card. See what happens on that one. If anything, it'll be a couple of funny photos about oversized heavyweights knocking other heavyweights out. That's always fun stuff to watch either way. Either way, I'll keep it up with it at BigFightWeekend.com over the weekend to keep up with it.
Oh, yeah. We've got news. We've got historical pieces. We love all of that, and we are going to keep you. We got some big-time battles coming. That's Spence Garcia is part of several weekends in a row. Anthony Joshua, Kubrat Pulev will be the next weekend. The following weekend is the proposed and now announced Canelo Callum Smith fight. We got some interesting ones coming over the next four weekends. We'll see what happens this weekend. We'll be writing about it on the site. That'll do it for now. Our thanks to Bernardo Osuna of ESPN hanging with us on the conversation. For Marquise Johns, I'm merely TJ Reeves. Keep those Dukes up. And thank you for being with us on the Big Fight Weekend podcast. Bye.